Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we give you a message of truth. We also want to invite you to our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many resources, these radio programs. There are Bible videos out there that are 30 minutes in length. And there's also all types of sermon material and PowerPoint presentations on various subjects. We encourage you to come out and take a look at it. We also, at the end of this broadcast, will give you the regular meeting times as our worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. The past few months, we have been looking at the writings of the Apostle Peter. We are now beginning the fourth chapter, 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll begin this morning by reading verses 1 through 6. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account of him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, in this particular section of 1 Peter, we are examining the mind that glorifies God. Our purpose is, let's be upfront about our purpose in this life. To honor and glorify God, and to hold His name in reverence. As noted earlier, we are not here ultimately to be happy, but to please God. The mind of Christ. A certain mindset is essential that we can glorify God. And that mind is the mind of Christ. That's what we must strive to emulate in our lives. Arm yourselves. What Peter tells us in this section of Scripture is we now are to take as what we must arm ourselves with in order to obtain the mind of Christ. This is what we want to discuss in the next few lessons. First of all, we see we arm ourselves with the same mind in verse number 1. Christ suffered. These verses are tied in with the previous section in which we concluded in our last study. Christ suffered. Jesus suffered in the flesh. This takes us back to the discussion of the death of Jesus for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous. Remember 1 Peter 3, verse 18. It also takes us back when we discussed Christ's suffering as an example for us earlier in this epistle in 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24. And so, we need to be that example as Christ was for us, that we should follow in His steps. He became sin for us and bear in His body our sin. Therefore, we must grow to hate sin, to reject it, to not allow it to reign in our lives in order to have the mind of Christ. And then we need to arm ourselves. The middle voice in the Greek speaks of what we must do or for ourselves in the case Peter again draws on the image of warfare. Arm. Peter speaks of employing an implement or instrument, especially in a weapon of war. The noun form of the word is used of instruments of righteousness in Romans chapter 6, verse number 13, of armor, of light, or of righteousness in Romans 13, 12, and 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, and weapons of warfare that are not carnal but spiritual in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 4. The verb is used only here. It denotes spiritually as a weapon, the same mind which what was in Christ needs to be adopted by us, and we need to have that mind in our lives. The mind. The word for mind here means a notion, an ideal, thought, purpose, or intention, as in the conceptions of the will of the heart. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word in its only other use in the New Testament is translated intense. Let us read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. The Hebrew writer wrote, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." This word here is used the same Greek word as intense. The NIV, as a result, has translated it as an attitude to denote it's a mode or a way of thinking. And so it becomes a mode of thinking. Jesus, and the point is that Christ suffered in rejection and to repudiate sin. And Christians must have that same mind or way of thinking when it comes to sin. We must reject it. It must be repulsive to us. It must be something that we learn to hate and despise because it caused the death of Jesus and it has the ability to separate us from God and cause us to be lost for all eternity. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 and Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. For because. This is a conjunction that's used to state a reason or a result. As those who have suffered in the flesh for righteousness have ceased out of or away from sin, suggesting that they have come out or left and given up sin. This is consistent with all other teaching that we find in the scripture, that we have to give up sin. Notice that we no longer should live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. We make a transition. We change. We leave the paths of sin. We mortify those sins, according to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 5. We put them to death. We no longer become instruments of sin, but instruments of righteousness. Read Romans 6, 16 through 18. And so we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. We need to look at sin the same way he did. We need to follow his example in suffering to continue to be faithful to God in no matter what happens to us in the physical realm. And so the first part of our passage is telling us to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. It will make us effective in his kingdom, and it will make us pleasing to him in how we carry out our duty here on earth. We then notice that we are to live to the will of God. That, the Greek word here, isis, it denotes a goal or a purpose to aim both negatively and positively towards that which a Christian life should move. Negative, the goal of life here first stated negatively, that Christians should no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh after the lust of men. Any amount of sin in past life is enough, as Peter is about to say. At that time, he will detail the lust that we should avoid. Positive, the rest of your time. He now states in a positive manner that what we should be to the will of God. Here again, the example of Christ stands out when he was going to do the will of his Father. You remember when he prayed in the garden in Matthew chapter 26, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And we know throughout his life he instructed others and he told them that he was here to do the Father's will. And so we must, in our time here, we must strive and we must put our mind focused on doing the will of God. Sufficient. The time past denotes the time that has vanished and is now gone. Let it suffice means to be content or to be satisfied with. The time for sin, that is a pastime. That's something we don't look back on with pride. That's something that we don't long for again. That's something that we left and something we reject and something we have learned to hate because sin is the enemy to the soul. And the lust already fulfilled is sufficient. Let's not go backward, but let's move forward. He then lists the practices of the Gentiles. But as we begin to look at that, I want to go back for just a moment, and I want to read from Romans chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul was talking to the Gentiles who did not have a relationship with God. Notice what he says beginning in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that were not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceitful, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, what we see here in Romans chapter 1, and also you can read this in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, is the condition of those who are dead in sin. When man takes God out of the equation, it is a downward spiral into utter destruction. Why? Because there is no breaks. There is no absolutes. There is no guidelines. There is no restriction. Everything is open to do whatever we want to do. And the sad part is, too many live their lives with that concept. And in our nation that we're living in right now, it's trying to erase God from our consciousness, to take God out of the equation, to remove him. So then there are no breaks, there are no parameters, there's no right and wrong, there's no absolute. And then man can just live like an animal. He can just live by his instinct, and he can do whatever he chooses to do. And if it's contrary to God's will, well, that really is not a law. That's really not something we need to worry about. And so, therefore, we're going to live ungodly and worldly lives, and that's going to cause us to be a slave of sin, as we read earlier in Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. It's a choice. We determine who we will serve. And so we need to live for the will of God. We need to focus our heart and our mind on living for God, living by his standards, living by his instruction, living for him. Let Christ live in us, Galatians 2, verse 20. Let others see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, Matthew 5, verse 16. Seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you, Matthew 6, 33. Dear listener, we need to arm ourselves to live to the will of God. Unless we strive to live to the will of God, we will not be effective in leading other people to Christ and the cross. Do you have the will of God in your mind? Do you strive to live that standard every day of your life? If we don't, we cannot be pleasing to God. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you tune in again next Lord's Day as we'll continue our discussion about living for Christ and how to avoid the sins of the world. Thank you. Have a blessed day.